Amen. Hey, let's show our appreciation to our student band, huh? It is not easy leading in worship, and so they did a great job. Thanks for Dakota and his leadership there as well. And we had a couple old folk over here on the side there, I think Aaron and Melanie, that anyways, we'll give them a round of applause too. Yeah, no problem. Hey, Ephesians, yeah, there you go. Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. It's good to be back with you. Thankful for Dr. James Swain filling in a couple weeks ago, and then Weston, our student pastor, last week. Thankful for that. If you miss those messages, go back and encourage you to watch those online. But Ephesians chapter 4. You once were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. You once were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. These are two identity statements that Paul is making in Ephesians 5:8. And they reveal identity in relation to Jesus. They are statements that answer the question, who am I? Who are we? And the answer is, well, outside Jesus, we're darkness. Inside Jesus, we're light. Which means in this room today, that I would think most of us are in light, but there is probably some of us that are still sitting in darkness. Because there is no, hey, I go to that church, I go to this church. You're either in Jesus or you're not in Jesus. That's it. The identity statement is in relation to Jesus. If you're in Jesus, you are light. If you're outside of Jesus, you are darkness. And so therefore, if our identity is light, if this is who we are, Paul goes on to say, therefore, live as children of light. Meaning, live as children of light, not so that you can become light or to become a child of God. No, because you are light, because you are a child of God, therefore, live this way. Well, today, we begin a new three-week series, and it's kind of laying out a newish vision for FBC Enid. But the vision is really just simple. It's not grand. It's not complicated. The vision, which Ephesians 5:8 is the foundation verse for it, is simply this. Live light. That's it. Live light. And you say, well, that seems very anticlimactic. When most church visions are focused on buildings, programs, numbers, structures, and schematics. But in a world of deep darkness, the world you and I still continue to inhabit, this vision of living light is what we've always been called and commanded to do. This has always been God's vision for the church. Remember, even Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he's quoted saying this, that you, his followers, are the light of the world. You are the city on the hill. And Paul is just echoing that, saying, you are light in the Lord. Therefore, live light in this dark world. And should we fulfill that vision, God will take care of everything else. He'll take care of the buildings, the programs, the numbers, the structures, and the schematics. But to start this morning, we're going to look at this idea of living light from a more of a bird's eye view. In the next couple of weeks, we'll kind of get into the weeds of what it looks like individually and collectively to purposefully and practically live light. But I want to start by talking about four words: preparation, direction, occupation, and identification. And I want to talk about these four words in kind of a general, broad sense before showing us how they come about in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. So let's just begin with this idea of preparation. All throughout the Bible, we're told things like, be alert, be watchful, be on guard, always be awake, always be prepared. Like, well, prepared for what? Like, how do we prepare? Why do we prepare? Like, prepare for what? Well, imagine it like this. Imagine you walk into a kitchen, and you notice that a person is pulling out bowls and measuring spoons and flour and eggs and sugar and milk and butter. And you ask them, hey, what are you doing? Well, their answer will be something like, well, I'm preparing to make something. And your follow-up question will be, well, what are you preparing to make? Are you preparing to make a cake? Are you preparing to make spaghetti? Like, what are you preparing to make? And of course, the person will know the answer to their question, to your question, because their preparation has been determined by their direction, by what they are aiming for. Meaning, direction determines preparation. Which means you can't have proper preparation without knowing your direction, what you're aiming for. Those ingredients don't go quite well with spaghetti, but they do go really well with cake. You have to know what you're aiming for, which will determine your preparation. So therefore, let's talk about direction. Direction tells you the what. Direction tells you the what you're aiming for. Are you aiming to travel to New York City or to Oklahoma City? Are you aiming to travel to the mountains or to the ocean? Are you aiming to teach math to elementary students? Or are you aiming to teach high school students how to drive? God help you. Are you aiming to play a soccer game or to play a piano recital? What you're aiming for, your direction, will determine proper preparation. So direction will tell us what we're preparing for, how we will prepare, and why we will prepare. So before there can be proper preparation, we must know direction. But often we can't fully know direction without first knowing occupation. Occupation tells you what you do, which determines direction. So for example, if my occupation is teaching, then my direction is to teach students to be well-versed and knowledgeable in a particular subject, which will determine my preparation. Or for another example, if my occupation is coaching, then my direction is to lead a team in the way they ought to go in their particular sport, which will determine my preparation. And here's the thing, occupations come and go. Or they can come and go, at least. They're fluid, they change. One moment I might be a driver for UPS. The next moment I'm a coach for the middle school. One year I'm an accountant for that business. The next year I'm teaching at that school. Occupations can come and go. They can change. But occupations will tell you direction, what you're aiming for, and direction will determine your preparation, what you're preparing for, how you're preparing, and why you're preparing. But here's the thing. Before we can determine occupation, we must first determine identification. Because occupation is what you do, whereas identification is who you are. Identification is the who I am about you. It's who am I? It's why if you walked up to somebody you didn't know, you said, who are you? They would tell you your name, and then you would ask, what do you do? There's a distinction there. Occupation is what you do, whereas identification is who you are. So identification is the who I am about you. It determines what you do, and what I do determines where I'm going, and where I'm going determines how and why I prepare. So therefore, I would argue that everything comes down to identification, answering that question, who am I, or who are we? Because that will determine what we do, where we're going, and how and why we will get there. And I bring all this up is because this is kind of the flow of thought for Paul. Already, identification is at the heart and the foundation of Paul's writing in the book of Ephesians. Already throughout the book, we're reminded of our identity in Jesus. For example, just in chapter 1 alone, we see that in Jesus, we are saints. In Jesus, we are children of God. We are chosen. We are blessed. We are holy and blameless. We are forgiven and redeemed. We are rightful heirs. We are sealed by the Spirit. Should the enemy ever get into your ears, just pull that up. This is who you are in Christ. This is your identity. But later in the book, Paul puts it a little differently, and he says in Ephesians 5:8, our foundation verse for this vision, you were once darkness. This is who you were. This is what defines you. You lived according to that darkness. You displayed that darkness. But now, Something has occurred. Your transformation in Christ. Now you've gone from darkness to light, death to life. Now you are light in the Lord. This is now who you are. Therefore, live as children of light. So outside of Jesus, you were darkness. Inside of Jesus, however, you are light. Also in Ephesians 5:1, he says, listen, you are children of God. That's your new identity in Jesus. This new identity is not just true of some of us, but all of us. Your identity is child of God. If you're in Christ, that's your identity. Child of God. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're a pastor or a lay person. If you're in Christ, this is who you are. Child of God. Not Baptist, child of God. That's who you are. That's your identity. You are light. You're a child of God. And nothing or no one can change that identity. Why? Because you are sealed by and you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself. So all of us in Christ, all of us have this identity in Jesus, regardless of our occupation, regardless of position or platform or assignment or role or responsibility. If you are in Jesus, you are a child of God. And so Paul establishes this all throughout the book of Ephesians. But then in Ephesians 4 through 5, he teaches us about our occupation, and he teaches us about our direction, and he teaches us, therefore, about our preparation. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians 4, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat back in front of you. If not, you'll see the words right here on the screen. This is what Paul writes. He, in this context, talking about Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Verse 15, rather, so that speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, who is Jesus, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And we'll stop right there for today. So again, your identity, as we learn from the context of the text, the immediate and the broader context, is child of God. That's who you are. Paul establishes that left and right all over the book of Ephesians. That is your identity, child of God. Your occupation, though, your job, if you will, as we learn here in verse 11 and 12, is one who equips. Every one of you is to use your position and platform given to you by God, your skills and gifts given to you by God, to equip or to encourage the fellow saints. Your occupation is one who equips. Equip the fellow brothers and sisters. Use that which God has given you through His Spirit to equip fellow saints, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You're to equip through teaching, through leading, through administrating, through serving, through praying for, through encouraging, through using your gifts, just as the students did moments ago, to be a blessing to others, to use these gifts, to be blessings, and so on. And the word for equip means to make someone completely adequate or qualified or sufficient for something. It literally means to make someone fully trained for something. So the question is, what are you equipping fellow brothers and sisters for? What is that something? Well, this now brings us to direction, to our aim. You're aiming to equip your fellow saints for the work of ministry, which, Paul explains, is the building up of the church, the body of Jesus. Work of the ministry equals the task of the ministry. The task, Paul is saying, is to build up the church. And he uses language like that of constructing a building. But your direction, what you're aiming for, is not the building up of a literal building. Your direction is verse 13. What you're aiming for is the church being built up into unity and maturity. That's your aim. Not buildings, not numbers, not structures and schematics. For the church to be built up into unity and maturity. That's our aim. That's our goal. That's what we're aiming for. For every believer to be of one faith and of one knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God. And for every believer to grow up, literally to mature into the full image of Jesus. To fully live in Jesus, with, like, and for Jesus. So identity is child of God. That's identification. Occupation is one who equips through the position or platforms or gifts that God has given me to be a blessing to other believers. And the direction is aiming for unity and maturity. For every believer to be a one faith, knowledge of Jesus, for every believer to grow up into the full image of Jesus. Knowing all this, therefore, we're to prepare. Knowing our identification, knowing our occupation, knowing our direction, therefore, we come to preparation. We prepare. And the what of preparation, what we are preparing for, we've already seen, is preparing for unity and maturity of the church. That's what we're preparing for. And we might say, how do I prepare for that? Well, Paul tells us in the context, how we prepare is each one of us individually, we must live light. That's how you prepare. Individually and collectively, we live light. And that's not a complicated calling or command. It's actually quite simple. Like in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, every one of you must walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Meaning you must walk in such a way that you deserve the title or identification, child of God. Live in such a way that people look at you and say, that's a child of God. And that you deserve the occupation given to you by Jesus, whatever that occupation is. Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have received or have been called to. And to do this, he elaborates a little bit more in chapter 4. He says things like, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Meaning you can no longer live like an unbeliever. You can't live like the culture anymore. You're different. Your identification is different. You're a child of God. You're light, they're not. You live differently. So you can no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You can't walk as you once walked. You can't watch what you once watched. You can't listen to what you once listened to. You can't participate in the things you once participated in. You have to be different. Not so that you can become a child of God, but because you are a child of God. You have to live differently. He also says you must put off your old self. That idea of taking off the old clothes and putting on the new clothes. You must take off the old identity that belongs to darkness and put on the new identity, which is created, he says, after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Meaning the new identity, which is wrapped up in Jesus. We're to live like Christ in every way. This is how you prepare. you live light. You live in such a way that you're worthy of the calling to which you've been received or have received. You no longer live like the world. You put off the old, you put on the new. You live light. This is how you prepare. Now, why you prepare? Well, he says it in verse 14 through 16. Why should we do this? Why should we live differently? Why should we live light? So that, he says, so that we, the whole church, may no longer be children. That's very blunt. It quite literally means so that we may no longer be immature and weak. Strong in your faith, regardless of what the culture says or does or pushes on you. Strong in the faith, regardless of work environment at the office. Strong in the faith, regardless of the classroom context. Strong in the faith, regardless of where the community might lean towards. So that we may no longer be immature and weak in the faith, tossed to and fro by the waves, or the latest YouTube, or the latest TikTok video. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So that we might be strong in the faith. Rather, why we do this, why we prepare, so that the whole church would speak the truth in love and would grow up in every way into him who is the head, who is Jesus. Meaning, so that we might, as a church body, work properly like a healthy body, speak the truth in love, and grow up in every way. Into full unity, oneness, and full maturity. In Jesus, with Jesus, like Jesus, and for Jesus. In other words, as he says, going back to Ephesians 5:1, so that we might imitate God as his dear children. So that we might live light, because that's what we are, children of light. So we do this, not so that we can become children of God, but because we are children of God. So because you're a child of God, use your position and platform, your gifts and skills, your roles and responsibilities to equip your fellow brothers and sisters, aiming for every one of us to be of one faith and knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, for every believer to grow into the full image of Jesus. So as a child of God, you individually and us collectively, we have to prepare for this. We have to prepare for unity and maturity by living light. That's it. By walking in a manner worthy of the calling. By no longer walking as an unbeliever. By putting off the old and putting on the new so that we, the church, might be the children of God, imitating God and living light. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they might see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. This has always been God's vision for the church. It's what it's always been about. And we might ask, well, how long do we have to do this for? Till 2027? Is this just a 2026 thing? A January thing? Paul says, until we all attain unity and maturity. Until every one of us is of one heart, one soul, one mind, one faith under one Lord. And that we are all mature in the faith, knowing who Jesus is, knowing what he's called us to do, not do, so on and so forth. In other words, until completion, until perfection, because this will always be an ongoing thing. In other words, until our Lord appears. I don't know if you've been following the college football playoffs, but I'm super excited that Indiana won on Friday night, and they beat Oregon, and it's a fascinating story, an incredible story. Indiana hasn't won anything in football in like 60 years, 70 years, I don't know, something like that, like never, okay? And all of a sudden, they're undefeated, And now they're playing for a national championship here in just over a week. It's an incredible story. But after the game, they destroyed Oregon. And after the game, they were interviewing Fernando Mendoza, an incredible kid, incredible leader, gives all the glory to God, just an incredible interview. But in the interview, they basically asked, what's the secret sauce? Right? Like, what? How? How did y'all do this? What's the secret? Because here's the thing. In college football, most people are chasing for the glitz and the glamour, the biggest building, the structures, the schematics, all that kind of stuff. And Mendoza's like, we don't have any 5 stars on our team. We don't have any of that stuff. In essence, he said, all we have is culture. And a culture has been cultivated here, and it's birthed success. This is God's desire for the church, is a cultivated culture of people living light. Because when that happens, it becomes a really cool, special story. Because that's when the Holy Spirit begins to work. That's when the Holy Spirit begins to empower and to blow things up in ways that you could never dream. But it starts right here. It starts by knowing our identity. It's child of God. If I'm in Christ, I am light in the Lord. So therefore, I will do these things, and I won't do these things over here. It's knowing that identity. Then it's knowing, hey, I'm one who is to equip others. Whatever that gift is that God has given me, I'm to use that to equip my fellow brothers and sisters so that we might, every one of us, attain to this unity and maturity so that the Lord might be glorified in us and through us. So therefore, I need to prepare. Individually, I need to prepare by living light. I can't live like the world anymore. I can't live like the culture anymore. I can't live like I once lived. I have to start living like Christ in every way because I'm a child of God, because I'm light in the Lord. And that's the vision he's called me to live. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to invite the team forward. We're going to have a time of response. As I said earlier, there's some in this room who are not in Jesus. And if you're not in Jesus, it doesn't matter what you know about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your accomplishments and accolades are. If you're not in Christ, you're in darkness. You're still in your sin. And the only way you go from darkness to light is repenting and believing in the only name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved, and that is Jesus. Surrendering your life to Jesus, who is the light of the world. So for some of you, today is the day of your salvation. Surrendering your life to Jesus. For others of us, it's just a moment to just sit there and give God thanks for our new identity in Christ. The old creation is gone. The new creation has come, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians. You are a child of his now. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. You are chosen in Christ. You are blessed in Christ. You're a fellow heir with Christ in Christ. And it's just a moment to give God thanks. And it's a moment for you just to ask, okay, God, help me to see my role and responsibility in church as an opportunity to equip my fellow brothers and sisters so that we all collectively might attain to unity and maturity in the faith. And then for others of us in this room, we think about this idea of living light, no longer living like the culture, living in such a way that we're worthy. And we think about how we've been living, what we've been watching, how we've been spending our time, how we've been spending our resources. We look at our relationships. We look at our decisions and so on and so forth. And it's a moment to confess and to repent of those things. And to say, Lord, because I am your child, I leave these things behind, and therefore now I live for you. I live light. Whatever the Spirit's leading you to do, these steps are open. Even as I pray, you can come forward. But this time of invitation is for you to respond to however the Spirit is calling you to respond. Father God, we thank you. We love you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that in Christ we are born again children, adopted sons and daughters. No longer darkness, but now light in Christ. We thank you for that salvation that you've made available to us in and through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the new life. We thank you. But Father, help us to recognize that therefore, because we are your children, we are now to live a different way, to speak a different way, to act and react a different way, to live light in this dark world. And that when we let our light shine before others, they will see that difference and praise you. So help us at BC Enid to be a culture in which we fully believe and know our identity. We know our occupation as those who are equippers. We know our aim, our direction to lead all of us to be united and mature in the faith. So therefore, help us to prepare by living light, each one of us individually, so that we will not be weak or immature, but so that we will be strong and mature, especially in a world that is so fluid, that is so fickle, that is so dark. Help us to cultivate the culture that you want us to cultivate, your vision of living light right here in and among our church. Stir each one of our hearts and minds. Bring us to the point of obedience for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we sing. If you have a decision to make, you come forward during this time.